this is your Polycast for Tuesday, August 30th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, some races on the ballot this fall are missing one important thing: candidates. Supporters of amending the Minneapolis City Charter to require police to carry liability insurance are arguing their case in front of the state Supreme Court today. Brant Williams reports.
Last week, Hennepin County District Court Judge Susan Robner determined that existing state law preempts this requirement. Robner said the state already has extensive regulations for how and when municipalities defend and indemnify employees, including police officers. In a court brief, attorney Jordan Kushner says Judge Robner's take on what is and what is not preempted by state law is not correct. He argued that the push for police liability insurance is a new issue that has not been covered by the state legislature. The court will also hear arguments over a proposal to let Minneapolis voters decide if they want the charter to include a $15 an hour minimum wage. Brant Williams, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Dozens of Minnesota City Council, Township Board, and mayoral elections are missing candidates this year. Around the state, there are offices on the ballot in November with no one seeking the jobs. That means a few write-in votes could determine some municipal leaders, or that local governments will have to find other ways to fill those posts. Brian Baxt has the story.
Wilmont is a bedroom community 20 minutes outside Worthington, with a population of 339 people in the last census. It's where George Hoffman is running for another four-year term on the city council. In November, his name will be the only one on the ballot for three Wilmont government offices at stake. That includes the mayor's office. The current mayor is retiring so he can travel more and visit family scattered around the country. In his 6 years on the council, Hoffman has assisted the mayor, but he doesn't want the title himself.
I was not interested in taking the mayor's job. I'm 70 years old, which is not that old, I guess.
The retired John Deere service technician figures he could wind up with the responsibility anyway.
I'm just afraid that I will, as assistant mayor, that I will be slid into that position if we do not get somebody that steps forward. Otherwise, if we get one write-in vote for mayor and one write-in vote for the other council seat, they've got them.
NPR News analyzed candidate filings for cities and townships and found more than 250 instances where no one is seeking the job. A few of the undesired posts are in places with 1,000 or more residents, but most affected cities have tiny populations. Barrie, a 16-person city in far western Minnesota, is an example. Voters are supposed to elect a mayor, city council member, clerk, and treasurer this fall. There are zero candidates. League of Minnesota Cities Executive Director David Unmacht says he hasn't studied the municipal ballot vacancies closely enough to declare this year's number an aberration or a trend. Either way, it's hard for Unmacht to find blanket explanations.
It's really unique to each particular community. At the same time, it is a tough job. It's not always the most popular position in town, and in small communities, everybody knows everybody, and oftentimes in some of these small communities, people have rotated these positions, you know, so whose turn is it next? And it might not be the time for people to serve.
If still empty after the election, most of the cities should be able to fill their position gaps through appointments to carry them through the next election. Unmacht's bigger concern is the graying of city halls and the difficulty some areas are having attracting younger blood for park boards, advisory panels, and other entities that can serve as training grounds for future leaders. In the central Minnesota city of Bolas, Joe Sabania has the ballot all to himself as a city council candidate. Problem is, there are four jobs in all up for grabs. He was surprised when the filing period closed earlier this month, and his name was it.
I thought there would be at least one or two more people. Because they always can complain about stuff, but nobody wants to join the city council to do something about it, you know.
So Banya was appointed to the city council not long ago when someone else moved. He estimates that he devotes 3 to 4 hours a month to the part-time role, where things like dog leash ordinances and public works concerns are front and center. So did he set his sights too low this November by not trying for mayor?
So I'm just new to the scene, so I don't want to take baby steps to kind of see what I'm getting myself into, you know, and work my way up, you know.
It was a fluke that left the void on the Grand Marais ballot for mayor. Incumbent J. Errol Smith DeCoux hopes to keep his job, but
I just didn't get the papers in.
The mayor had been on a family trip into the Boundary Waters. In his town on the National Wilderness Area's doorstep, it's as good an excuse as any.
The fact that nobody else filed, I'm kind of relieved by that. But
he's been razzed by his friends for the slip. He's waging a writing campaign. And the first-termer is vowing he won't make the same mistake next time.
So you can sure bet your baloney that when the next election comes up, I'll be the first person putting my paperwork in.
Back in Wilmot, Hoffman says a write-in mayor would cut both ways, getting him off the hook, but also carrying uncertainty.
And we're just concerned about who we might get in there. You know, who you don't know who you would get on a write-in.
Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.